baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. Happy Monday, Goz.
Happy Monday. I'm in a good mood today. Yeah, very good mood.
Me too. And it's going to be a fun show because we're going to go back to our old roots somewhat. We're still going to keep it nice and tight the way it's been in this new era of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, dropping on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're everywhere, folks. But we're going to interview a fighter. We're going to talk to UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar. We're also going to do our usual touching on the latest MMA news, the news nuggets we like to call them. There's not many results to go over because it was a quiet week. We already did that. Ryzen and PFL were the last shows of the year, so we've covered that already. So now, Goz, we can start turning the page and start looking forward to the big shows that are coming up, especially UFC 246. We got to mention Connie Mack from the other side of the pond. Did an extensive interview with the Mack Live, so we'll touch on a subject here or there. I want to save some for the spinning back click, one of our other video franchises, folks. I hope you have been checking that out. So you ready to go, guys?
Yeah, it feels like it's the calm before the storm.
All right, buckle up, Junkie Nation. Here we go. Ever hear about the ex-football star who robbed a Brinks truck, tucked $400,000 under his arm like a football, and escaped using an inner tube? Then you'll want to listen to Season 1 of The Sneak, a podcast by For the Win and USA Today Sports. Take a quick listen to the man who pulled it off.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened.
I didn't just one day wake up and decide to rob an armored truck. There were smaller things that had happened. I promised, like myself, this was the last thing I was going to do. The more like elaborate something is and the more moving parts, but that's more shit that can like go wrong. I made some crucial errors. Number one, I escaped on an inner tube. Number two, I hired decoys to help me pull off the robbery. Every single thing I wanted to do, I did. My transformation, I guess, as a person, came at the worst time of my life. I pulled this off. I wasn't worried about money anymore, but I was more miserable than ever. No money can change, like, who somebody is as a person. I was busted by a homeless guy.
The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports, streaming only on Wondery Plus. Subscribe at Wondery.com/PLUS.
Well, let's start off with the biggest fighter in the game, Conor McGregor. He knows it. Everybody knows it. Dana White knows it. He basically can have whatever he wants with the exception of shares in the company. He can't be a part owner. They've shut that one down. But, he did an interview with the Mack Life. And what jumped out at me is just his ability to forecast, get his fans and the media excited about what 2020 holds. You know, from what his coaches are saying and from what he's saying, It's like the nonsense, the playtime's over, and he's really, really been buckled down for this camp. Hell, I don't even think it's been the longest camp. It's not like that Cerrone announcement was this past September or anything like that. Unless he's quietly been doing it.
I think that's what happens.
Okay.
And I think the UFC does that a little bit, too. I think what they do is when they know he's going to fight, they let him know a little bit before, start getting ready, and then I think that's when you find out, everybody else finds out, the opponent finds out, okay, it is official.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he usually gets like 2 extra weeks.
Mm.
I think so. If you look
I
at
wouldn't
like
put it past anybody.
He posts, sure. The way he gets treated.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't feel like it's the longest of camps, but if you look at him, he's definitely been in shape. He's definitely been doing things.
Yeah. So he's saying he wants to do this fight at 170, which, by the way, he feels is a title qualifier for contention qualifier for Habib's title at 155. He does want to dip in into the BMFs. And he wants that belt versus Jorge Masvidal. And then he wants Habib later on in the summer. Remember Habib, we said last week, shut it down. No. You got to win 10 fights before you fight me. Conor mm-hmm. also left the option of fighting Kamaru Usman. He, by the way, has also addressed it. Addressed, you know, fighting Conor McGregor. And he's not shying away.
No, that's the best news he's probably ever heard in his life.
That's for sure. Yeah, but that is what makes Conor McGregor special. Is his ability to forecast, his ability to get fans and media excited about this fight, the next fight, the future, like the next year, the next 18 months. I mean, he really does it like no other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we interview other fighters and they say, I'm only focused on this fight, sometimes I just yawn. I look at my watch. You know, I just like, all right, I get it. I mean, it's kind of the norm. So I don't mean any disrespect, but that's also why when this guy fights, I mean, he flips the title upside down, goes up to Vegas. What is it? January 5th? In 13 days, this place is going to be madhouse.
The weird thing about Conor McGregor, I don't even know that I've ever seen this in any other sport, especially combat sports, but I'm starting to believe that it almost doesn't matter whether he wins or loses. Because even if he were to lose this fight, he could realistically turn around and say, I got unfinished business with Nate Diaz. And regardless of wins and losses, we would all just kind of eat it up and go, here we go, here's the third one. He'd probably make even more money.
Yeah,
I don't understand how somebody can do that, but it's complete 100% props to him. I mean, I know that people say, yeah, the UFC helps a lot, but that dude built himself up from the ground up, and he's made it so he's been able to do these types of borderline ridiculous things that are going on. You know, doing it at 170, the talks of fighting for 2 titles this year. Like, you just kind of sit back and you eat it up, fighting Floyd Mayweather, for crying out loud.
Who would have thought? But guess what? I've been watching a little bit of replays of other fights and things like that. And we always say, hey, if you want to take a lesson on how to deal with a loss, look to Conor McGregor. He does it like a true pro. He handles it with class. He handles it head on. And then within a day or two, boom, the next fight, it's on. The trash talk comes out. You know what I mean? But what I've noticed goes is there's still some subtle hints. And I guess it's pride, it's ego, of like an excuse, even though he doesn't really offer it as an excuse. You know, when he lost, I'm pointing towards the first Nate Diaz fight. They had been showing that over the weekend, over the holidays.
Is that the good knock?
Yeah, I think so. But what he said was he made it a point talking about 170.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how that move, you know, he thought it would work out, but it didn't work out. I didn't have an official quote or anything like that. I was just casually watching it with a few beers. But I was thinking, oh, I didn't notice that one. I noticed that I was in the back. In fact, I think that was the one I got frozen out, and I actually didn't get to go in the arena. I can't remember. It was one of those. So I was in the back, and I heard everything with him in a suit being very classy towards Nate Diaz. But the one with Joe Rogan, this might have been the first time I heard it. Who knows? But yeah, he talked about moving up to 170 and how that may have been the wrong move or whatever. And then here I'm reading this article, recap done by Nolan King, and he's saying the last cap was horrendous. I have no one to blame on myself. I did by myself. So in a way, he's taking on the responsibility of the decisions he's making.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I still feel like he's saying, boy, if not for the camp being horrendous, I got Habib. And had I taken Nate at 155, this one's all me. You know what I mean? But since it was 170, I may have taken on too much. There's still these subtle little excuses that I've noticed. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you can call it an excuse, though, if he puts it on himself, right? That's like the genius of him, that he's found like a loophole.
Perhaps.
Because you're right. They sound like excuses, but he takes the blame for them. So it's like, are they? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like it when somebody goes, the better man this night was that man. And you shake his hand and or that woman or whatever, and you move on. But from my end, enough about Conor McGregor. We're going to address him a lot in the next 13 days, whatever I said we're away from. No, I guess today's the 6th. I should have brought my glasses. 12 days away. And it's going to be a fun ride, man. No one does it like this guy. And I'll tell you what, he has a great chance of making a tremendous splash. So much that Dana White wants to put him in there with the winner of Tony versus Habib. But remember, that fight's still 3 months away. And Habib also takes a little bit of the summer off because of the religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that Conor McGregor will have to take another fight before he even gets to that other one. And he can just dabble and have fun with the BMF, you know. And Jorge Masvidal, I can't figure that guy out. Sounds like he wants to make the most money, and I guess the most money might just be fighting Conor McGregor versus beating the champ and then fighting Conor McGregor under your terms, your pay-per-views. You know what I mean? Who knows? I'm going to ask Ibrahim Kawa if I can talk to him about that.
Don't hate money, right? They got to know something.
Let's see. Yeah, I remember was here, and he clearly said he wants him to take the road to the title. Jorge wanted to do the money fight route. You know what I mean? So they kind of disagreed. But they did it in fun. And, man, things change. Who knows? These guys might use the boxing model, and they may reevaluate after every fight, because Jorge does seem to get bigger after every fight.
Remember, they do.
Jorge was here after the 5-second knockout of Ben Askren. And after he beat Nate Diaz, he became even a bigger superstar. So it could be that they ripped that one up, and now it's a whole different one. Good for them if they can do that.
Yeah.
That's the Muhammad Ali act right there, folks. Being able to just negotiate from fight to fight. All right. We talked about 3 months from now. Habib versus Tony. Justin Gaethje now wants in, He wants in. You're welcome, Justin. We've been saying this forever. Get on the same timeline as the champion. A, you become the understudy, you know, if somebody can't go. And no one will dispute that he's number one right now. Remember, Conor's number one if he beats Cowboy. But right now, it's Justin Gaethje. So get on the same timeline as Habib and Tony. And that way, you're in that mix. That when everyone's talking that week, you're there. You know, Habib says something, you have something to react. Tony says something, you have something to react. Either one of them stubs their toe, you're ready to step in. And you're on the same timeline as those guys, and now he finally gets it because he sees that he's been frozen out by this whole Conor McGregor effect. However, what I can't decide is who I want to see him in there against. Dustin Poirier's already said, I'll run that one back, and I have no problems with that, guys. The only problem is I've already seen that one. I like to see fresh fights. I only like to see rematches if they're warranted, not just because they were fun. Otherwise, we would just do the same fights over and over again because they're all fun. There's two pairings of fighters that you can throw in there and go, that was fun, let's do it again. That was fun, let's do it again. That was fun. I mean, how many times would you want to see Reem and Ngannou? You know what I mean? Or the certain matchups. So, I don't know. Can you think of a name? Like, did Kevin Lee, just with that knockout of Gillespie, maybe put himself right back in a situation like that?
Yeah, I like that name. It's so tough in that situation because he's kind of been frozen out, like you said. So at this point, I think if I'm his manager, I'd say, let's just make money. You know, it doesn't make sense for you just to be sitting around not making money. And we have no idea. Everything could go according to plan. And then the Conor McGregor wrinkle comes in. And now what? Now, like, you got to start over. So I would just say keep making money. And especially with a guy like Justin Gaethje, he's not afraid of anyone. So you don't have to worry about that.
Maybe the winner of Felder and Hooker?
Yeah.
They fight on February 22nd. That might be too quick of a turnaround, but it'd be about just outside of 2 months.
Islam Makhachev
seems to be begging for a fight. Okay, him.
You just got to be busy, and you got to be on that card, and you got to be Clubber Lang. You know, whenever Connor's talking, you got to be in the background yelling. Anytime you hear anybody chirping.
Yep. Hey, woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of youth that are listening going, who's Clubber Lang?
Clover Lang's awesome.
Educate yourself, folks. Check out. Look, I'm not going to send you the whole series. Just check out Rocky 1, 2, and 3. I think we'd be good. Anything else would be gravy, but those three are classics.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3 are good.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's kind of the latest there with 155-pound division. But I do like the Makhachev angle. I've seen Ali Abdelaziz, who, by the way, represents Khabib, Makhachev, and Gaethje. But I've seen him out there looking to see who he can match Makhachev up with. Kevin Lee threw his name into the hat, and I wouldn't have
somebody else did
no
too.
Problem with that. But I think if Gaethje's looking for something, that's your guy right now. Lee is working off a really nice win, but I'd like to see him maybe take on maybe the winner of Felder and Hooker. I don't know.
I think that'd be perfect for him.
Yeah, there's some possibilities out there, but we're way ahead of ourselves. Right now, the focus is UFC 246. I think that's going to figure out a lot of things for a lot of fighters, especially if Conor McGregor wins. And if he doesn't, then I guess we start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Some other news. Damian Maia and Gilbert Burns are going to fight. We feel especially proud of this because we cornered Gilbert Burns in a off-guard series, an off-guard video. And basically, I think that's where a little bit of where it was birthed, right, this idea?
I think so. I asked him, give me three names. That would be your perfect scenario. And he said that was his number one. And I can't remember the other two names he gave, but I remember him saying that's his dream scenario.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the title that we put up. So hopefully, yeah, when's our check getting in?
It's going down, folks. It's going to go down UFC on ESPN Plus 28 in Brasilia. And then another matchup is Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. And the good news is, again, going back to our old roots, we're actually going to talk to one half of that partay. In terms of some other news nuggets, and we'll get to that in just a second. In terms of some other news nuggets, USADA goes is piloting. Did you see the new oral fluid testing?
No.
They have a new oral fluid testing program. And supposedly it's going to improve the UFC's anti-doping efforts. It was implemented on December 11th, 2019, and it was only implemented to detect the use of in-competition prohibited substances within hours of use. So, basically what that means is cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what they're trying to figure out is that they believe this is very, very accurate, and this could be the future. I, of course, believe... Jesus, I think all you have to do is not use cannabis for 8 hours before and 8 hours after. I don't believe cannabis should be even tested for, but it is. And all you got to do is stay away 8 hours before, 8 hours after. I suppose it's the heavy users, maybe you have to go a day or two or whatever. But I from the outside looking in, never looked at it that way. Who knows? For them, it might be like taking sips of water, and they just need water. Like, I need water. I need to sip water throughout the day. Maybe that's how they look at it. I don't know. But eventually, if this can eliminate it, okay, great. Look, it's legal in most states now. One day it'll be legally federally. I'm not opposed, folks. I really am not. But if this thing takes off, what it would prevent is, this is what this is, how they outlined it. A pain-free and non-invasive collection experience for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, the pain, I think, would imagine would be the needles. The non-invasive is all
right. Like a breathalyzer or something?
Pull your draws down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whip it out. Piss here. I got to watch you. It says here, eliminates the need for gender-specific collection personnel. All right, female to female, male to male. And then the other one, samples can be easily and quickly collected in a wide range of environments. So if that can be the process for it taking care of everything, great. But I always felt like blood still needed to be collected one way or another for like EPO specifically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would
more expensive.
I would imagine that still has to be the case. Yeah. I think this is just kind of like a little bit of a shortcut for certain things.
Well, they're piloting this program. It's already taken effect. And remember, they only were addressing the in-competition prohibited substance list. So we'll look more into this and see how 2020 is going to play out. And we're going to see if these samples that were collected are going to be, validated, and what the feedback's like from the athletes. You know, if this works out, then great. You know, I support it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've heard about the 6 a.m. stories. We've heard about fighters just being pulled from many places we've been to. In fact, one day we'll share a joke with you guys that we played on the fighters during a military visit. We had them freaking out a little bit, but Not really freaking out like, oh my God, I have something to hide, but just like, really? We're on a base here, you know, to support the troops. Really? Like, we got to meet somebody, but we'll save that for another episode. Right now, we're going to get to our interview with Calvin Hayter. Cater. I'm going to sound like a hater because I got something to, I got something for him and his patriots. So let's get to that. All right, joining us now on the hotline is UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar. Calvin, let's just jump right into it, man. You've had some time to think about it. Can you talk a little bit first? Let's start off this way about the loss. And can you also address the choke?
The what?
The choke.
Yeah, you got to deal with that. Don't even talk. That one hurts more than the one that I took, the L that I took. Oh, don't start with that.
Damn. I was hoping you'd go, well, Zabit, I didn't get choked. And I was going to go, the Patriots. Man. I was going to slip it in there.
Yeah. I know how you guys do, man. Bunch of piece of shit haters. But if you look, man, the last 3 we won was every other, right? So we know how to bounce back. And just like that myself, you know, I know how to bounce back, too. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. And, you know, life's a little up and down. It's how you respond, man. 2020 is my year. I can't wait to go out and put on a show March 7th to start off 2020.
Man, Calvin's from the streets. He smelled that one from a mile away. All right, I got to improve my game. No, you know what, though? Calvin, I think you said it best in one of your – you don't tweet much, so, you know, you don't have to go too far back to see you talk about it. But you basically felt like you just ran out of time. In a 5-round fight, this one goes your way?
Yeah. And maybe even a 4-round fight. But, you know, we signed up for 3, so it is what it is. I should have got it done in 3. You know, hats off to him for getting the job done, but, you know, that was my fight to leave on the table, and I think, you know, next time I step in there with him, I think we'll see that. But let me ask you something real quick, not to get off subject, but to go back to the Patriots. Everyone that goes against the Patriots, right, they all it's like the Patriots versus the rest of the NFL. So who do you got this year? So I know I can call back and shit on you when they lose. You can't just take the field. You know, you got to pick a team. You can't just be against the pack.
The field. I love that. Okay. So I'm a 49ers fan, so I have a leg to stand on. But Goz.
Thanks to the Patriots. Thanks to the Patriots. Garoppolo.
Goz has, he's a Redskins fan, so his season's done. So you can shit on him when he takes over his set of questions. But I'm a Niners fan. I feel like we have a decent chance.
Yeah, man. Good luck this year. I ain't a hater because. I like your QB. He learned a few things from ours, and good luck this season, boys. We'll see where you're at the Super Bowl time when it counts.
Fair enough. All right. So, Calvin, just to put Moscow to bed, that experience. What about the experience of fighting like overseas and his actual, home country? And like this was completely different from the way it was set up. I remember. I think you told us. It was going to go down in Boston, you sold like 3-5 suites because your crew, they come strong.
Yeah, man, we were rolling deep to Boston, and I still went to support, and it was kind of cool because it answered my question, you know, how my fights are. I always wanted to hang out with the people that go to my fights and hang out with them as if I was fighting.
Yeah.
But I never can because I'm always fighting. But this one, it was pretty much that. You know, I went to go to support the guys that worked for beating the Boston, Joe Lauzon. To name one, and Randy Costa the other. A few others that were all local, competing that night. And it was great to kind of just enjoy the Boston fight with my crowd of people that usually come there to support me. But it was a tough turnaround for them to go to Russia because it was about a month's notice or something like that, and tough to get visas. So we had a tight-knit crew that went out, and it was cool, man. It was like I was living the Rocky IV experience all over again, going to Russia, and I step up to those opportunities, I feel like, you know, given it didn't go my way, but I don't shy away from big opportunities and moments, and it wasn't too big for me. It was just a little tweak in the game plan, and we're ready for, you know, as you saw, the last one was the leg kicks, and if you look now, I don't think you see too many guys trying to get away with that game plan. We adjust, and we're getting better every camp, so, you know, I don't think I'm the complete best version of myself yet, and this next one, you're going to see another refinement, and I'm excited to go out and just test my abilities against another tough fighter in the featherweight division.
Calvin Kattar, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. Calvin, a couple silver linings that I can think of. For one, you know, Zabit could arguably be next for Alex Volkanovski, but it sounds like they might run that one back with Max. And the other silver lining would be if they are running it back, then, you know, that sets Zabit back a little bit and the Korean Zombie and, you know, all the other chasers, all the other ones and twos that are chasing those two. So, really, I think you learned a lot. I mean, you went the distance with a guy that arguably is a contender, and it doesn't really disrupt title hopes because it doesn't sound like there would have been something waiting for either one of you, you know what I mean, because of this rematch. So do you look at it that way? Like you just said, there's a few more holes to fill in your overall skill set, and maybe by late 2020 with maybe two more fights under your belt, boom, the best Calvin Kattar's fighting for the title.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think a three-round main event decision loss to Zabit that I know I wasn't outclassed in. I started edging him out in the third and putting him on his heels. I don't think that type of a loss sets me back to the point where I'm out of title contention or anything along those lines. It, you know, takes the wind out of my sails. It's going to take a lot more than that to slow me down. We're adjusting. And if they're claiming that this guy's the next title challenger, like I said, I was right there with him. I didn't feel like I was outclassed. You know, I'm right there with all these guys. It sometimes, you know, it's tough. You just can't make the first mistake. And, you know, these guys are ready to expose anything that you, any mistakes that you do show. So just tightening up all the holes and getting back to work. That's all you could do is just get back to work and go step in there and take another one and get the last one, you know, out of your mind. So I have a short memory in this stuff. And, yeah, I'm excited. Jeremy Stephens going to give me, you know, the fight that I think the fans want to see, and this should make for a good one. And what better place than Vegas? I get to finally put that check next to the bucket list and fighting in Vegas, the fight capital of the world. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it was announced, folks, at UFC 248. It will be Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens, taking place in March 7th, 2020. You already see how that fight card's coming up, how it's filling out?
Yeah, I know we got the Joanna versus champ right now. That should be a good one. Honestly, whenever I'm on the card, I generally don't really pay attention to who else is on it the most. Usually I'm so focused on getting my work in, and yeah. I don't realize that until I'm walking past them out back or things like that. But I'm really just focused on getting to work and getting back in the win column, you know?
Yeah.
And really, that Vegas green room got the best ice cream game in the UFC. you know, when you go out back after the fights, it's tough, man. It's been picking. I remember my first time experiencing the Outback Green Room was for Rob Font's fight. And, man, Vegas knows how to do the ice cream section in the green room. So I'm really excited about going out, getting me a W, and then getting me a soft serve with all the fixings.
I bring up the card only because I wanted to see if your fight is main card placing. It's got to be. To me, it looks like maybe the leadoff. But the other fight that's big is Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier, two solid middleweights. And then there's Dracar yep. Close versus Benil Dariush. Much respect to those guys. Neil Magny versus Jing Liang Li. So it's looking pretty good. I see you guys as the opening bout on the main card, in my opinion.
Hell yeah. Get the show going, kick things off, and then more time in the green room out back. I'm with it. Yeah. the last one was the last fight of the night. It's kind of funny, you know. I'm used to that on the local level, you know, being the main event and things. It's pretty cool doing it at the UFC level, but, you know, it's just the same old, man. Just seeing the guys start leaving the locker room all of a sudden, you're the last one in there. Kind of tough being the main event, man. You get screwed out of all the food out back and the fixings and stuff. You got to do interviews. It kind of sucks. Go kick off the fights, have a badass fight, you know, kick things off, and then go out in the back in the green room and just, you know, celebrate a little bit. It's kind of nice, but either way, I'm excited to, you know, get another shot in there and fighting for the best organization in the world, the UFC.
Hey, real quick, what's your favorite ice cream? Your flavor, you know, what is it going to be?
Honestly, I switch it up. Usually I go plain ice cream, something like a vanilla. It's just really not kind of an ice cream. I just get like a vanilla ice cream and I throw a whole bunch of candy in it. Kind of like one of those blizzard type deals, and then I throw a little bit of fudge, whipped cream, all the good stuff, you know. But yeah, usually it's a plain ice cream with a whole bunch of shit in it.
There you go. All right, let me turn it over to Goz.
Kelvin, so Jeremy Stephens, when we saw that matchup come up, our mouths watered. It seems like a great matchup. The thing that Jeremy brings is the intensity inside and outside of the cage. An opponent like that, a guy that likes to kind of get in your face before the fight, at weigh-ins, all that. Do you like that type of opponent? Does it bring an extra level out of you, or do you like kind of more the chill fight week?
You know, I'm trying to keep it chill. I think happy fighters win fights a lot of times, they say, and if you got to do it, why not just enjoy the process? But tell you what, man, I ain't no bitch either. Someone comes up to me, I try to keep my cool, but if you know, he can have it one of two ways, you know. I serve it both ways, so however you want, you can get it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be me and Miguel, try to be cool, calm, collected, but, you know, trying to get a rise out of me is only going to make it worse. So, you know, pick your poison. It's cool with me.
I feel like that's a little bit of a calling out to George and I, too, for bringing up football. So we'll take our foot off the gas there. But last question for me. There's been a changing of the guard at the top of your division. Do you feel like now with the new champion, you match up better with him, or did you match up better with the previous champion?
You know, I don't get that far ahead until it's right there in front of me. It's, you know, when that opportunity presents itself, at that point, I really won't give a shit who it is, because I just want to, I'll just do what I got to do to get the belt. You know what I mean? You just got to do what you got to do. Each person poses new issues, new problems, and, you know, we'll have a game plan for everybody we step in there with. It's just my job to go out and execute that game plan to the best of my abilities and get my hand raised, you know. But as far as both guys, I think there's, you know, there's ways to beat both. You just got to go out there and find it and execute it.
All right, Calvin. Hey, man. Thanks so much for the time. Great little catch-up we had with you. I hope you had a happy holiday season. Happy New Year. And I guess we'll be seeing you here in a few months, you along with the rest of the New England cartel.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. I'll see you guys in a couple months.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the time.
All right. Well, Pat.
All right. See ya.
All right, well, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, dude's always making me laugh. He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
And he's a cool really, cat. Really good fighter. He's got a little bit of that street swag. He keeps it real. Never once did he really say Zabit sucks. He just basically said, my hat's off to him, you know. But I did go the distance, and I felt like with some more time, this goes in another direction. And he's already turned the corner. And he's ready to face Jeremy Stephens. So I'm excited about that matchup as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, a loss like that being so close has to be tough to stomach. But it seems like he's kind of gotten past it. And he's saying all the right things. I thought it was pretty cool. And at the end of the day, I mean, he's young. You know, he has room for these type of errors. I thought it was ballsy to take that fight, to go over there. Like you said, it's his Rocky IV moment. So good on him, man. And I'm glad to see him here in the fight capital of the world. This is a great matchup for him. I think good things is ahead for him in 2020.
I can't wait. That's the card that's headlined so far by Weili Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Also on the card is Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. So it's coming together, but I feel like there's more to add to that. All right, folks, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoyed us going back to our old roots of interviewing fighters. It was kind of fun to get that rust out, right, guys?
It's 2020, so yeah, things we're going to be doing a lot more of that.
Yeah, we'll exactly. Perfectly said. All right, with that, we are out of here, folks. Please share the show. Tell a friend about it. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. The show is at MMA Junkie Radio, and Goes is at The Goes. And we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.